In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We begin today with a riddle of sorts. It belongs to you, but other people use it more than you. You pay nothing in order to get it, and yet those who love you consider it one of their most precious treasures. You might never say it out loud in the course of a week, but you hear it all the time. What is it? It's your name. How often have you thought about your name? And when you do think about it, what do you think? I don't just mean, do you like your name, or do you wish you had a different name, or has it been kind of a problem to carry throughout life? I mean, how do you value your name? Why do you think it matters? How much do you value it? How do you use your name? As a matter of curiosity, I decided to look up the most common first names given to babies in the last 100 years or so. Amazingly enough, not too many names occupy the top spots. For 37 years, from 1961 until 1998, the most popular name for boys was, what do you think? Paul? No. You wish, yeah. Not John. Michael. Michael. Then from 1998 to 2012, it was Jacob. And since then, Noah and Liam have kind of traded around first place. As for girls, you can perhaps guess what was the most popular name for over 40 years. Any guesses? Mary, absolutely. Mary was the most popular name from 1921 to 1961 at least, except for a few years that Linda bumped her aside. And from 1996 to the present day, Emily has dominated first place, followed by Emma, Sophia, Isabella, and Olivia. Why does it matter? Why do I mention it? Well, it's simply interesting how few names our culture has really used over the years. It suggests that names are important. We tend to be conservative with those things we care the most about. And so with names, we tend to stick to the tried and true, to family names, religious names, names that we know or that we know that others will know. Yes, some people use more creative names, but they are simply the exception that proves the rule. By their creativity, by their delight, they stand out and confirm for us how we are accustomed to other names. Probably you can even track what's happening in a society by what names it uses. I mentioned that Mary stopped being the most popular name for girls in 1961. Interestingly enough, in 1962, the Roman Catholic Church began liberalizing its rules, and so they began to de-emphasize devotion to Mary. Others have noted that in the years leading up to the First World War, boy names started to shift from the biblical to the nationalistic. No more John and James and Philip, but Otto and George and Francois, as fathers started shifting their allegiance from the hope of eternal life to the hope of an eternal nation. So now we come back to your name and why it matters for you. Could it be that being a Christian gives a new value to your name? I don't mean just to you, but to your specific name. Could it be that your name that you carry has an eternal value, an eternal beauty, and that you can use your name differently because you are Christians? I ask because today is the baptism of our Lord, and the baptism of the Lord is a time for remembering three names. The first name comes up from the River of Jordan, right after John baptizes his cousin. At that moment, as Jesus came up out of the river onto dry land, the heavens opened, the Spirit descended on him like a dove, and God said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." That declaration, God changed the name of Jesus forever. Up to that point, Jesus was a very common name in Israel. It's actually just a Greek form of the name Joshua. And Joshua was a national hero. Joshua was the one who took over from Moses and led the Israelites into the promised land. A lot of boys were named Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus. But now God had changed the name Jesus. He started to change it when he commanded Joseph and Mary to name Mary's infant that name, promising that it would be a sign for people that he had come to save, because Jesus means the Lord saves. And now at baptism, he confirms that change and makes it public. "This Jesus is my beloved Son." By doing that, God made Jesus the friendliest name on earth. By going down into the water where all the sinners were, and by the way, it wasn't really nice water. Not back then and not today. A lot of things flowed into that river. But Jesus went down into that river where all things were flowing, including the sins of the people. And by doing so, he said, "As in these waters of baptism you die to sin, so will I die for your sins." From that point on, Jesus' name became synonymous with the grace and kindness of God. Blind men called out, "Jesus, have mercy on us." The mere mention of his name angered and cast out demons. His disciples carried his name like athletes wearing Letterman jackets. Without TV or newspapers, very few people saw Jesus, but when towns and villages heard his name, they came running. And now that Jesus has fulfilled his baptismal mission, dying and rising again, his name has become the name above every name. So that, as St. Paul writes in Philippians, "At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." That's the first name. But because Jesus is not only the friendliest person we know, but also the most obedient and humble, he didn't just leave us with his name. He also gave us another. Risen from the dead, gloriously free from the grave, his body sanctified, holy, strange, yet still bearing the wounds of the cross, he stood before his disciples at Galilee, and he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Jesus did not let his name stand alone. But as the Son of God, he put his name with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Three names, yet only one name, for one God. And he told us to baptize in that name. He wrapped up baptism in the name of God. He mingled it with the water, so that everyone who now passes through baptism is not only moistened with water, but also soaked with the name of God. Just think, God's name poured over you, God putting his name on you, promising that he is committed to you, as committed to you as you are to anything on which you put your name, and even more. He is the friend of sinners. So the name of Jesus, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And now the third name, which is back to you. Jesus mingled his name in the waters of baptism, and by that same baptism, he now mingles your name with his name. For at every baptism, we don't just speak the name of God, but we also speak the name of the one being baptized. John, Mary, Thomas, Jennifer, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. From that point onward, your name doesn't just belong to you. It belongs to God. He writes it down in his book of life, promising that this person with this name now bears his name, and therefore he's committed to that person. Just think, your name is known in heaven. Your name is known in the heart of God. He's dedicated himself to doing for you the friendly work of Jesus, forgiving, delivering, and saving you. And as a result, your name carries great power and beauty. We remember our baptisms not just by going in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, but we also remember our baptisms whenever you hear or use your name. Because your name carries with it the promise that you who bear that name have died to sin just as Jesus died on the cross, and you will rise to life just as Jesus also rose. Your name and Jesus' name belong together, so that now, whenever you hear your name, you should also hear that promise in the background. Your name is God's name, and God's name is your name. Not that you are God, but that you are fully possessed by him, and he by us. So what's in a name? Well, everything is in the name of Jesus, the name of God's Son, and that name that is yours. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And if you know someone who is not yet baptized, invite that person to receive this powerful gift. Amen.